There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back. Welcome back once again to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Of course, this is not Resurrect the Democracy. This is Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining us. This show stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? This show is about activism as much as possible, so we encourage you to keep calling on behalf of Tom. To the Vicars of Portland and the Office of the Attorney General, why is there still a case being held against Tom, being made against Tom? The new administration is not supposed to be doing this, remember? I want people to remember to call on behalf of Tom to Washington, D.C. itself. Yes, Mr. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, 202-514-2000. Do not forget about Tom, 202-514-2000. Ask for the Director of Scheduling and have somebody call you back. Schedule a call back so you can talk to somebody if possible. Preferably speak to somebody. They sometimes ask you up to submit in an email your request for a callback. Do that if you wish to support Tom. This case can be dropped immediately. Tom's not a threat to society, the fictitious entity society, and Tom's not a threat to anybody in it. The actual men and women who make up this audience and the communities all over this country. And, of course, the Vicars. We don't want to leave the Vicars out of the loop because we know they're the real power behind the curtain. Look it up in the dictionary. The judicial vicar assists an archbishop in his administrative and judicial duties. The church doesn't have a judiciary. They're vicaring our judiciary, and all you have to do is go into the courts, in New York especially, and you'll see everything getting appointed over to the vicar general. Name it, including children seized by Child Protective Services. You think there's an incentive there for the vicars to absorb children into the largest pedophile network in the world, the Catholic Pharisee priesthood? I'd say there's a little incentive there for that. And, then, of course, the witch's court is perfectly happy to comply. So the vicar's number, be polite but be firm, must release Tom. We're watching this. We don't want to have to get to the point where the people are just going to indict these players on their own. That's what the common law grand jury movement's all about. The vicar's number is 503-234-5334, 503-234-5334. Judicial Vicar General Peter Smith and Judicial Vicar Patrick Brennan. Those are the men behind the witch's court. Nationwide. Even in your community, folks, there's a vicar. He may be located a couple hours away in the nearest big city, but trust me, they're extending their unlawful jurisdiction over all of you and all of us. With that, let's go to Texas. Lori, are you with us, Lori?
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hanging in there. How are you? And how's Tom? And give us any updates you got.
He's good, and he has his status hearing Monday at 1:30. I'll be there, and I am to meet with his lawyer next week. His lawyer, I did talk to him today. He quite possibly will extend the court date out another 30 days. They're still working on the case. So be prepared for that. Only the judge can make that decision, not an attorney. So that's where we're at on that. Tom's doing fine. And, you know, it's just a day-by-day thing. With your mention of the courts, there was a development today by Trump. The immigration executive order that he had was thrown out again. This was the watered-down version. It was the 9th District Court, the same one Tom's in. But this was the gentleman out of Hawaii. And I'm going to quote Trump here. He said, "They are some of the most dishonest people in the world, and he will be heavily criticized for that." So this is a new development going on. It seems that Trump has his eyes on the 9th District Court as well, because it's the second time one of their judges has thrown out his executive order. Oh. Which he actually verbatim read the statute. It was or Federal Regulation 2.12F that states that the president can decide to, you know, at the peril of the nation, let immigrants in or out as he chooses and from various countries. So he read the Federal Regulation verbatim from memory. Said he was reading the law just like most of us who are being followed by the FBI, tracked by the FBI, tracked by whoever else wants to track us. And as they said in court yesterday in Nevada, even if you liked a Facebook post or shared a Facebook post on the Bundy Ranch incident, you are a co-conspirator. So, and this was the attorney for the U.S. that said this in Nevada yesterday in the Bundy trials. People, don't show any fear. When your president is reading the law, he's standing up saying we're going to fight and win, and we are doing the same thing, reading their laws and their statutes, fighting in their courts, doing things their way, and they're calling us enemies of the state. This is something that needs to be changed, and there's a lot of people that are running, hiding, or in fear, and they need to stop it, because the same thing's happening to Trump. And addressing the fear, many of you know I've faced this fear myself, and it's over with. No more fear. Keep going. Keep standing strong. And we all need to stop having that fear. It binds us. And when you let that happen, you lose your country. So I want to start seeing people making those calls, standing up, going to those meetings, making things happen. Research your law. Research the statutes. Go to your city councils. Go to your county commissioners' meetings. Go to your school boards. And we need to have those places filled. We are not filling the rooms that we need to fill. We're filling the chat rooms on the internet instead of the rooms actually in these agencies and governmental witches' courts, as you say, Eric. We need to fill those rooms instead of our chat rooms online. So
yeah, they were
that's kind of what I've taken away from my head.
Uh-huh. They were, the rooms were pretty full when the Congress people were coming back for their, remember the town hall meetings? Those were pretty packed and pretty lively. And there was a lot of activism and objection there to what's going on. And then they stopped coming around. They stopped coming back to their community because they didn't want to hear, what we're telling them, which is get the government out of our business, get it out of the rest of the world's business, stop running the government like a business. We're going to wind up with a giant corrupt international multinational corporation called the United States of America Incorporated. And that's what we're living under. And Tom knew all too well that we were not lawfully conscripted into this citizenship scam where this word citizen is being used to make people think, oh, you're a good American if you're a good citizen. You're a citizen, you're a slave. And that's why we're all free people. And just open up Roman history. I got it right here. I can do it from memory. I'll pull it out, though, at a break. But it said 212 AD, I think it was, all free men of the empire became citizens. Think about that statement, people. All free men of the empire became citizens. But there's the transition from freedom to citizenship. You don't want to be a citizen of anything, and that's why they're constantly asking you, fill out your citizenship, write your citizenship in. What's your citizenship? That's why I want you to consent to being that subject. And because people don't, you know, and I don't think they should have to have a mastery of the language to get by in this life. I mean, not everybody can be a word wizard and a master manipulator like the Freemasons, who have redefined the language in the legal system. And that's why it's so dangerous right now, because they're getting the witches' courts getting away with all kinds of stuff that's completely unlawful and absurd and out of the parameters of common law, and into just complete arbitrary, militarized, ecclesiastic-style tribunals. And what a slap in the face to the Creator to have Luciferians in black robes, and that's the only reason they wear the black robes, underneath a sign that says, "In God we trust." It's absolutely bizarre. And with that note, I want to bring in Chris from Las Vegas. Are you with us, Chris?
Surprisingly, I am. I think the real critical question you asked there is, which God do they trust in?
Their idea is different from ours. I can tell by their behavior.
I'm convinced you're correct. There's no doubt about it.
Chris, have you heard anything from the Nevada trials? I haven't seen anything on that today.
No, I was down there at that courthouse late today, but I didn't talk to anybody. I did get a call from Tom Benson here, who had been distrained again unlawfully by the same terrorist who has no competency to do so, who is apparently anti-American.
Yeah. Who is the real terrorist but the government? Where the word was derived from the Reign of Terror under Robespierre after the French Revolution, when the tyranny became even worse, as bad if not worse, under the next dictator as the dictators that came before. And this is why
I think Robespierre, on one side, he was early on, he was on the good side of the people, but then at the end, he turned into being one of the other ones, and he went up losing his head over the deal there.
Yeah. This is why looking up to a, you know, single individual or a very small group of individuals to do, like, the leadership, so to speak, is a really bad idea. We've all got to contribute in some kind of leadership role. I mean, we can't all be the president of the United States, but we can contribute ideas that are employed at the local level.
And well, Eric, I've got some good news on the front of what we've all been doing. There's one thing that we've all been reporting on for years, and finally the U.S. Senate is starting to hear us. There are allegations that U.S. taxpayer money is being used to fund, get this, billionaire George Soros and his effort disrupt the political landscape here and overseas. There are, through the Secretary of State, Senate is trying to prompt Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to investigate this, as well as other countries, to go after Soros. And you know that they've already found the money behind the courts, where they're taking the money and instead of putting it back into the system, saying you can pay your favorite NGO, non-governmental organization, which was funding things like Black Lives Matter. So it looks like they're really trying to hit these guys where it counts, into the pocketbook. I sat and looked at some of these progressives today at a meeting, and they had briefly mentioned budgets, and I saw a little spark of fear in their eyes today, which was quite nice, that they may not have a job soon because of the way things are going. So if we can get that money fund and that flow stopped a little bit, and Soros and people like him investigated and actually jailed, you know, he's got an active warrant out for his arrest from Russia. Maybe we can get these people on the run where they have no place to hide. But I wanted to put that out there as well tonight.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yep, this, we have both sides. Kind of, there's, you're getting this people. Here's the picture of reality. There's multiple factions, but there's generally two sides. There's the overt and the covert. And what Lori was just describing is the overt, what would we call them? In leftist revolutionary drag globalists who want to gain basically property control and give it to a small group of Politburo thugs. Just like any government, the same small group of guys gets in control. This is why we all have to be masters of our own destiny. But there's the overt, the Soros's, the the rioters, so to speak, the ones that like to get out and are promoting violent change instead of legal and lawful restoration, which is a lot easier. All you have to do is start repealing stuff that's unlawful, and we go right back to a nice kind of a pared-down free republic with minimal restrictions at the local and state level. And then there's the covert, which is the vicars. They're the ones behind the curtain. They're the kind of typically on the right, so to speak, of the political spectrum in the image that they're presenting to the people. I'm not saying that's what they are. I mean, they're very leftist as well in their totalitarian control over things. Once again, the same group of 20, 30, 40, 50 Politburo thugs or congressional thugs or county and state legislator thugs get together, and they always seem to rise up and get control of these governments. And it was very interesting. There was an actual political parties that sprung up in the 1800s in upstate New York that were virulently against the Freemasons, because it was so obvious that the Freemasons had taken over the courts, and towns like Canandaigua and others were and still are heavily
anti-Masonic party
infiltrated and taken over by the Freemasonic lodges in upstate New York. And I touched on this, maybe it was last night or the night before, but the death of William Morgan. He was a well-known...
The anti-Mason party.
Right. Well, that's where it sprung out. Right. He was one of them. He saw what they were doing, which was quite evil. And he was exposing the Freemasons and the control that they had over the courts and the government. Same thing I'm doing right now. And he was arrested for a debt of $2.65 that he didn't owe to the person anyway. They made it up and said, he owes me money, and they arrested him, put him in jail, and then the Freemasons bailed him out and put him right in a carriage and took him off and killed him. His body was positively identified by his wife and his dental records, and it's quite a historic event. And we're going to get deep into that when we have a little more time. So there's the overt and the covert. And the overt is the Soros is and the Black Lives Matter. And the covert is the Vicar Generals who operate behind the curtain. They're the ones with the real power. So there's but ultimately it comes down to the system likes to have, the intelligence agencies especially, like to have that too. That overt and that covert, and then run both ends of it, i.e. the agent provocateur. And most of those guys that you see with the masks at the protests, the guys with the bricks in their hand, they're going to throw a brick at a window and smash a window. They're wearing a mask. Real protesters don't do that. Almost in every case, I would say I'd hard-pressed to find one that's not. They're all officers from the local... intelligence units in the local police departments, sheriff's departments, and state police. And if you want confirmation of this, folks, go online, type in YouTube, Montreal protest. I think that in and of itself will do it. Montreal protest, it was either the G7 or the G8. This is a few years back when they had the G7 or the G8. I think it was the G7. But if you type in Montreal protest G7 or Montreal protest G8, protesters arrested. And watch carefully that video. Watch all of them. But there's one in particular where there's thousands of protesters, just legitimate people protesting, you know, kind of like what this country was founded on. And then there was three guys with military, like camouflage pants and T-shirts, and they were pretty well big and in good shape. They weren't they were obviously, you know, these guys were physically fit. They looked like they were military people. Of course, they had masks on. They were dressed casually. They weren't dressed in, like, army clothes. But they had, like, cargo pants. I think one of them might have had camo pants, and the other ended up tight T-shirts, and otherwise no signs of who they were, because they were wearing bandanas around their face. And they were the only guys in the crowd with bricks in their hands. And they were standing right way in the back, right next to the riot police. And a bunch of the protesters came over and busted them. And they said, these guys are cops. Take off your mask. And everybody started yelling at these guys. And At one point, they got a picture of the bottom of their boots, which was the same, which was the had the yellow tag that only the police issue boots have on the. I mean, it was all the evidence was there, and if I'm not mistaken, the Montreal police issued a statement that says, "Yeah, that was them." It's been a few years since this happened. Gosh, back in, this has got to be 7, 8, 9 years ago. But it's been going on for a long time, and long before that, of course. But this is one of the problems. This is why even in the, you know, hey, Black Lives Matter wants to protest peacefully and do what they got to do and make their point, hey, go for it. We can't take their right away to do that. But when it starts getting into violence, almost all the time it's not the legitimate protester. They don't have the desire or the guts or sometimes the physical ability to really get into violent protest. Those guys you see with the violence, throwing the bricks, smashing the windows, dumping the gasoline on the cars, the guys with the masks are almost always agent provocateurs. It's a long, well-understood term, agent provocateur. It's kind of like the French name for a one that provokes chaos or violence. And of course, the end to the means is corporate control, more police state. Man, you can sell Mr. and Mrs. Idiot sitting home in their easy chair. Honey, look at that. Look at those evil protesters smashing windows. Oh, my God. And they're against Trump. Trump must be good then, right? And the whole thing gets kind of funneled back into a left-right paradigm that I think we're still stuck in, especially with Mike Pence. He's the key infiltrator in that administration, along with the chief of staff, Pubis. Okay, anyway, go ahead, Lori.
That's kind of building into the fear thing again. They keep going, fear, fear, fear. In fact, the FBI and police that are sitting on the stand, from what I hear, are crying and saying that they were in fear for their lives as they pointed guns and had red dots on the civilians. The other thing is these guys are losing their minds. They have no idea what they're doing. I believe it was Senator McCain in the Senate today that Rand Paul blocked his try or attempt. I believe it was Montenegro they were trying to get in as one of the NATO nations. And McCain stood up and starts going, "He's in with the Russians, he's in with the Russians." It was just insane how these people were losing their minds and going off the rails. I just think that we need to start laughing at these guys. We need to start making fun of them. We need to start laughing at them. And the left-right paradigm,
yeah,
go ahead.
They definitely don't like it. They don't like being laughed at, that's for sure. But, you know, I hate to get too far down the laughter, because if it's so many lives are being destroyed, this is serious. I mean, once in a while we can get a smile, but it's you know, with people like Tom still incarcerated for victimless allegations and all the people like him. But yeah, you're right. If it would be laughable if it wasn't so sad and they weren't destroying so many lives, but this is really serious and they need to be held accountable for it. But you're right. They are losing their minds. I noticed that on many fronts. Chris, what was it the Word of God said about people, the wicked losing their minds and going insane, and because they're so tied into the wickedness, the unrighteousness, the persecution, i.e. Tom, in the Antichrist system? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but anybody could call in with those scriptures. I think that would be interesting, because I'm pretty sure I can't remember where it is, but the Holy Bible talked about how especially in the end times, it might have been in Revelation, I think it was much earlier though, it talked about, you know, how the unrighteous and the unclean and the wicked and the ones who were really spitting in the face of God end up losing their, yeah, what was it?
They shall forget.
That would be actually a blessing for them, yeah, if they could be able to forget what they're doing. But we should not, and because lest we forget, it'll keep happening over and over again throughout all the subsequent generations that come after us. And we can't let that happen.
And one thing about the laughter, keep the laughter going. It keeps everybody going, including those in prison. When they see us joking and laughing and making fun of these people, it gives them something to keep going on. Sitting here and saying it's so serious and always being serious and not playing the jokes and pranks. When Jason Patrick was in court with his little turkey call, and to see how it got the knickers twisted of the U.S. Marshals, it was worth it. It was really worth it. keep that humor and that human element. I hate the word human, but that human element going, because that's what's going to help us win. And if we can't laugh and we can't go forward with a smile on our face, even though we know how bad it is, then we lose. It's just like them wanting us to fear. They want us to be in a bad mood all the time, sad, upset. And you have to try very hard to be smiling.
Yep.
Be laugh and joke at them. And if we take it so serious that we can't see a way out of this, and the only way out of it sometimes with humor, and you get them, they actually can't make a move when you have them with humor. They are so upset and so embarrassed, they can't say anything, they can't do anything. But a quick wit is the one thing that's going to take these people down as well. So taking it serious, yes, we all know in our heart it's serious. But not being able to laugh, keep it going, is when the fear comes and takes over, when people are afraid. You've got to be an example. When people see you standing up and walking through and you're living this situation, you've got to be an example and put a smile on your face. Are you going to cry? Are you going to be upset? Absolutely. But for the most part, when I saw all of the defendants in Oregon, they had a smile on their face. They kept their humor up. They were doing everything they could to keep a positive outlook. And even after the verdicts came down, they said, good, we're guilty. It's not over. We can continue to fight and keep making this country right. And even Jason Patrick today has been all day, President Trump, why have you not freed the Hammonds? Where are the Hammonds? I don't see them. Why are they not free? I woke up a felon for standing up for a farmer. So they're not stopping. Keep going. And I really applaud Jason's manner in which he's going about it. He's not being rude. He's being honorable. He's been as respectful as he can to the judge and to the people around him. He's not trying to get himself in trouble because he hasn't been sentenced yet. But he's still fighting, and he's still doing what he can to make it happen. And I think we all need to take a little bit from his example. He's looking at a minimum of, around 6-plus years, probably 12, in prison right now. And he's still walking around with a smile on his face and doing the thing he normally does. He's living with no fear. And he's not trying to run. He's not trying to hide or do anything wrong. He's going to do it the right way. So we need to go by his example, because that's a man facing something that no one wants to face. And I've looked him in the eyes. And so for him, if we can do one thing and have a little laugh every once in a while, let's do that and honor him, because he did stand up for people where I was too afraid and didn't agree with. And all the people that are in fear right now that even set foot on that refuge, they need to not sow fear and stand up and say, I was there, if they were there, and keep going.
Hold that thought. We're going to pick that up right on the other side of this break. Great points. I agree with all of them. We'll get right back with you, folks. Hang on with us. We got a short break coming up here. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. This is Resurrect the Republic, not Resurrect the Democracy, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Houses for you and me. Welcome to the base.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
PatriotRepair.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Back to Freedom Screamer. We're at Resurrect the Republic here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, sitting in with Texas Lori and Chris in Vegas. We have a caller on the line, Rodney. Let's get right to our caller. First, let me respond. Hold on, Rodney. First, let me just talk about what Lori was just saying about the humor. I totally agree. God, I wish I could. I could do a lot of that. I wish I could go there a little more. I didn't want to turn this show into a, you know, and I'm not going to, I won't make it, this it might be a little extreme, but I didn't want to make light of any part of the fact, not even a little bit, as little as possible, making light of the fact with all the suffering that's going on. To me, it would diminish it, and I just didn't want to turn the show into a goofball, you know, but we could come up with a nice little fun project. How many different names can we come up for the witch? For the court witch. So let's start with there. But we can have humor. Yeah, I agree. I didn't want to make too much light of it. But maybe I'll consider that an invitation or an opening for maybe me to lighten it up a little bit sometimes. But, you know, we can't turn this into too much of a party here. This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fooling around, in the words of the Talking Head. This is serious stuff here. Tom's suffering. I'm feeling the suffering of Tom sitting in a cage 22 hours a day in solitary, chained up by shackles when he's brought into court. You've got to be shitting me. Sorry.
He's not in solitary.
No, I know. But he was for several months. Yes. And also, I'm a little perturbed at the fact that it was very convenient, almost too convenient, the timing. As much as I'm a big fan of the 46 prosecutors getting fired, as long as we don't drain the swamp and refill it with fresh feces, But as much as I'm into the prosecutors getting fired and or preferably not replaced with anything, but if they had to be replaced, maybe with some constitutionalists, it didn't happen till just the other day, almost, and it might have been on the exact day that the jury went into deliberations for the cases in Oregon that could have been dropped a lot sooner and a lot quicker if these prosecutors had been replaced when they should have been replaced in the first week of the new administration, and all these cases that these people are suffering. What's this guy going to be doing 6 years in prison for a minimum? That's insane. When you call in the phone blitz for Tom, make sure you mention the other patriots that are also being held as well. Nobody should be doing any prison time for this. This is absurd. We're putting people in jail for what? Disobedience? Digging a trench on public land? And we're the public? And the government's the corporate officer? They're the ones who are bound by their contract. They're the ones who are bound by their rules. We didn't sign up for any duty to be enslaved in this corporation. Why? Because a bunch of pigs in the witch's court under John Harlan, a former Kentucky slave owner, was the head of the Harlan court who rammed through the 14th Amendment in 1871, isn't it? Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. But the Harlan court, and I got a book right here somewhere. Where is it? Historical Perspective, with a picture, an official portrait of John Harlan, that fat Southern Kentucky slave owner. Okay. He was happy to own slaves and then put through the 14th Amendment as if he was freeing them. And he knew full good and well exactly what was going on. And when they ran through that thing that took the blacks out of slavery, but made everybody in the country, including the blacks and the whites and everybody else, citizens of the United States Corporation. Even that that unlawful maneuver in and of itself wasn't even lawfully passed. So it's flat, it's facially insufficient, and it's structurally insufficient, and it has no standing to begin with, because it's an unlawful act to enslave somebody else. Under this absurd notion that there's implied consent, or because you were born on this body of water called land. I mean, that's just Masonic lie right there. And that's why. And what do you mean, Eric, body of water on land? When you go into court, you're under maritime law. Just ask Lori. She looked it up, found it on the Oregon court's website. Look at the flag with the yellow fringe around it. And look at the bar that you cross when you go onto the Admiralty and off the land. And with the way they had those statutes written, I was noticing that they were including pieces of land in between the certain waterways. And I can tell you they've extrapolated that to every piece of water in the country, because they've already docked it under the new global water agendas. I saw them out, you know, literally GPSing every little runoff ditch next to a country road. And I mean, places where obscure places, they're tracking all the water. So anyway, didn't mean to get us too far off track, but I wanted to, respond to that. We will try to get into some humor if we can on this, but once again, yeah. I hate to make light of anybody while anybody else is suffering. We need to get around to being grown-ups and fix this problem. We can have a smile once in a while, you know, but I'll try to, if the guys who are locked up, you know, enjoy the humor, yeah, I'll come up there with some doozies. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic what's going on. So, I mean, it would be a joke if it wasn't so devastating to the lives of so many people. So I tend to take it kind of seriously, but I think we should. And if we don't let it get overwhelming, when it gets overwhelming, turn it over to the Lord and realize that we can't handle it all on our own, but we got to get as far as we can towards fixing this. And we need a lot of people coming together under one kind of a full truth mentality, a full truth that includes everything, not the partial truth. Not this political corporate party is going to save you from the other political corporate party, or these globalists are going to be okay, but the last globalists weren't. And, you know, I mean, so anyway, before I start ragging at the guys in the new administration, let's take our caller, Rodney. How you doing tonight, Rodney?
I'm doing well. Good evening, Eric and Lori and Chris. I'm glad you're on tonight.
Thank you.
My question is, has Tom or anybody on his behalf filed a writ of mandamus?
Not yet.
My next question is, why not?
I didn't know I needed to.
Well, let me ask another question.
See,
has Tom or anybody denied any facet of due process?
Say that one more time.
Has Tom been denied any facet of due process?
Oh, all kinds of facets of due process have been denied. Here's the thing. Hold on. Tom has an attorney now, does he not, Lori? And we can't start filing papers on Tom's behalf without really screwing things up for him. And unfortunately, it's one or the other. If he had no attorney and was going pro per or pro se representing himself, then it would be a different story. But there's a limit to what we can file. I don't think it would be out of, Lori, you can check up on this, but maybe we can, you know, find out if we can do some, if it's not going to screw up his case with his attorney and get, we don't want to create a situation where Tom's attorney has to quits or he has, you know, walk right away from the case. And a lot of times they'll threaten to do that if you start pushing buttons that, you know, and even the defense attorneys, come on, they're not always interested in defense. They're interested in upholding the system. They swear to have to do that in their oath. What do you think, Lori? Can we do a habeas corpus blitz for Tom, or would that screw him up with his attorney?
Right now, because I'm finally getting my feet on the ground, I took my time to see how the courts are working up here and how corrupt they were, and I can see they're not as corrupt as what people said they were. I'm ready to talk to his attorney. We've got plenty of time right now. What I've done the last 2 days is sit and read the rules of the court. The rules of the court enacted by Congress and the Supreme Court, as well as the local rules of the 9th District Court in Oregon. Those are the first two things you need to do. And I've gotten very familiar with those and found ways to fight this case based on their rules. Any paperwork that needs to be filed has to go through an attorney right now. What I'm looking for is how I can go in as a natural person or pro se, or how I can help Tom as a next friend, and I've got to find it in the rules of the court or the legislation of the court. That's what I'm looking for right now, to see how I can help him and stand beside him, or how he can go pro se. Now, there is a case called Frisetta versus the U.S., and with that case, I can get him to go pro se with an attorney standby. I told his attorney today I expected, not wanted to see, but expected on Monday to see that case mentioned and for them to go pro se with an attorney standby. That I know is allowable in the district courts. You've got to know the courts and how they do their dance. I've been learning how to dance the last 2 days. I've had the time to sit down and internet access.
All right, Chris, your turn.
Go for it. I'm going to mute out while you
Chris,
guys...
You recall, yeah. I didn't say habeas corpus. I said mandamus.
I said habeas corpus.
Oh, that was you.
Well, it's got to be a mandamus of something. If you just write mandamus, that's incomplete, is it not?
It's a writ, or am I wrong? A writ of mandamus.
Okay, a writ of mandamus.
Chris,
okay.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do.
Okay, well, if Tom has been denied...
And you're talking about a common law process, mandamus. See, most of these are all private foreign commercial courts, and they don't pay attention to this sort of stuff. The U.S. Right. District Courts of America, their foreign law courts, files that with Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. They don't recognize these courts have set up their private corporate status, and their along with their maritime, their UCC/maritime status, has taken them, allows them in their mind, in the witch's court mind, to ignore, like Chris said, they don't pay attention to this stuff. You can have the most world-class common law documents perfect, and the witch's court will do a number of things. They'll ignore it. They'll say they didn't get it. They'll bury it at the bottom of the pile or tell you you don't have standing, or just ignore it, because once there's an attorney involved, we file anything, and they're going to put it off to the side and say, well, this doesn't apply. It wasn't filed by his attorney. Ignore that paperwork. Even though we have every right, everybody should file a habeas corpus on behalf of Tom, but I don't want to screw him up with his attorney and do anything he doesn't want us to do.
Right. Well, here's the thing. The admiralty came in through the Constitution. Congress actually granted them that via the Constitution through the Supreme Court. That's where we get the admiralty versus the common law, but the common law is still there. That's why they're going on the sea versus they misinterpreted the Constitution from what I'm seeing. So that's where we're getting the admiralty. Hold on, Eric. They also use the rules of civil procedures and confuse them and mix them with the rules of criminal procedure. So if I have to look at the rules of criminal procedure, I'm saying this for a reason. Anybody that's researching it, you must make sure you're looking at criminal procedure until they refer you to the civil procedure rules of the court. Once you know what the process is and how could they can do things, they had, an act of Congress that you have to e-file most things. You can still put in some paper filings. But that's another thing that's holding up we the people. We've got to go to Congress and say no more e-filings. That's keeping us from doing what our duty is to protect ourselves. So,
if you don't mind my...
Pardon?
My commenting about that. In fact, I had that situation very close myself. In Las Vegas, the federal courts have a public closure time of 4 o'clock a.m., although attorneys can e-file, and they can file up till 11:59 or 12:01 a.m. and still have theirs filed into the court on the same day. And well, I'm old, and I've got some tricks up my sleeve, so I just slipped it through the door and put the time on it that was slipped through the door. They'll probably claim they didn't get it tomorrow, but I'll go down and double file it anyway if I have to. But that is not equal justice under the law. It is not fair to non-barred people to give them special privileges to be able to e-file where the rest of us don't have that privilege and to have the extra time to get their papers in that we don't have. That is specific privileges that gives them a leg up on the rest of us, and that gives them special privileges above and beyond the people. How is that fair? How is that equal justice under the law? And how is that equal access to justice?
And that's what I'm trying to find out, where I can go into the court, or Tom can go into the court and can defend himself and face his accuser. And these are some of the things that they have requirements on the rules of the court. There's some little tricks up my sleeve I'm not going to talk about.
I have some case law on that, being able to present your own interest, to have a standby counsel, not being able to force you to have a barred license and squire attorney represent you. There are a number of those things that I have. I don't have them right here at my hand, but I have them pretty close at hand.
And I still owe you a call, Chris. But yes, these are the things that we're going through. These are the things I'm learning on the fly. And I will be asking questions to the listeners, too, because I'm listening to you. If it seems I'm ignoring you, I'm not. I'm finally able to sit down and do the research I need to do to get these things done. I'm very aware of the time.
It's hard to drain the swamp when it's full of alligators.
That's okay. Those alligators each other, too. They fight and eat each other and kill each other, too. And that's what we've got to make them do, is turn on themselves. And when you look at their paperwork, there's always a remedy, and you've got your maxims of law you can bring into court as well. I've read where the court is never closed. So there are things that you can do. There are things that acts of Congress that I still need to go through some more judicial committee handbooks through acts of Congress that they have, and find more information. I'm a fast reader and learning a lot of how to operate in this.
I have the Circuit Court of Appeals Federal Judiciary Manual. If you like it, if I know for sure, if I can send it to the RTR of Tom's email, and it'll get to you, I will send that to you.
I'll have somebody pick it up. I know that's going there.
Okay.
And but this is what we're doing. And
am I still on this call?
Go into the writ of mandamus a little bit more and educate us on that for those of us that don't know that much about it.
Okay. Well, it's a petition to a higher court demanding that they force, or that they in turn demand, that the lower court uphold the law.
So we're actually sending this to the Supreme Court?
No, just the Superior Court above the one that is in possession of Tom's case at the present time. This will serve several benefits for Tom. He can detail with extreme with extremity all of the violations of his due process. In this petition, it will become a part of the record.
I agree. I'd love to help him on this. He's got to dump his, before we can do this, though, he's got to either dump his attorney and go, you know, we're in a position where we can help him and, you know, not screw him up. Or if he stays with the attorney, you know, definitely I want Tom to, or Lori
well,
Tom, to say
if,
it.
If Tom's got an attorney, he's screwed because they're not going to.
I know. I hear you.
I mean, Chris.
They forced that on him.
Chris, do you know what a writ of mandamus is? It's not an antique, it's still fully functional. They're rare, but
But the court, you know what the court looks at it as something is that they haven't received it from another officer of the court. They don't recognize it when it comes from a member of the a living man or a living woman. I understand what you're getting at. Believe me, nobody would like to go there more than I would, but they will bury that document and or ignore it as long as Tom has an attorney on board. Now, once he gets rid of that attorney, all bets are off or all bets are on, and we can open up with some fantastic paperwork, and I would encourage all of our listeners from you to, get our friend Roger out there maybe could contribute. I've done a few in the past that aren't too bad. And we could come up with something pretty good that would help Tom. But once again, you know, the court's going to do what it wants to do in the end. I hate to be defeatist and not like that. The papers still need to be filed. I'm not saying don't file. I'm with you on the filing. I agree. Let's write up something fantastic for Tom, submit it, and then have it put it online in a PDF and have everybody be able to download it and send one in on his behalf. So think it like 1,000 writs of mandamus for invocation of habeas corpus.
That's not the kind of... It's not like your appeal for, you know, hundreds of writ of habeas corpuses.
Yeah, but it makes a bigger impact on the witch's court that the public is watching in a large way. It trust me, the activism and the numbers help. The massive phone calls or the massive mailings will make an impact on.
Let me finish this.
Before I forget this. This is important. Hold that thought. Just give it to us in a second, Chris. When you're and everybody else, the way that the attorneys get the mail through to people who they think may reject it or ignore it because they know sending things to the members of the public may also say, hey, no, I don't want to accept that registered. You don't have to accept a registered letter and sign for it. So in other words, people think when they send a letter by registered mail or certified that when it gets there, it's going to be accepted by the recipient at the witch's court clerk's office and the witch's clerk is going to say, oh, I recognize that name. Oh, it's Chris. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer. It's whoever. And they're going to say, I don't think so. And they won't sign for it. Okay, so that letter walks away. Here's what they do. They send one registered, and they send one standard delivery at the same time. So the postal delivery person will come up and say, and this happened to me, here's this registered mail, and you say, nah, I don't think so, and then they say, here's your standard delivery. So it's like a de facto process serving. So they hand you, if you decline to sign, they just hand you the letter right at the spot that was sent at the same time to the same person, and that's how they know you got it. They got the post office, the postal, you know, the postman or the postwoman that can, you know, obviously testify that they gave you the envelope directly, and that's how they get stuff through. So try the same thing on them. Send them a registered and a standard delivery to the exact same address at the exact same time. And then if they refuse to sign for that registered, that letter that you're sending them, then they slap them with the standard delivery letter as if it were a process server and it doesn't cost anything except for the little bit. There's, you know what I'm saying?
There's another aspect
so it's like
to that.
Eric,
if they obstruct justice, deny due process, and refuse to accept service or evade service, then that invokes the alternative means of service, and you can service by public notice in a local paper of distribution. Now, here
good
they
point.
Come up with this concocted idiocy, trying to claim you got to serve it in, it says one place in one thing, use a singular, and they talk about the duopoly or serving two different location papers in the second sentence, and that's equivocation. You're diametrically obstructing and denying yourself and countermanding yourself. It can't be both true. They're speaking double talk, like attorneys usually do.
Yep. Well, you're right on that. Public posting is crucial. People, if you're gonna file something, it's always really wise to also simultaneously well, simultaneously send the two letters, one standard and one registered, and then also simultaneously a third thing, which is post online, post in a newspaper, post it in a public forum, as many as possible, the more the better. And so Chris makes a good point on that public posting. Well, we're coming up close to a break. Caller, any more points before we get to the end of this hour?
Yeah, just a quick start page search on RIT, W-R-I-T, of Mandamus. I'll give you lots to read. And then conclude with what Frederick Graves drives home in his teachings on the law and how to represent yourself in court is you have to prepare for appeal. And a writ of mandamus would be valuable in that event.
That's
and if you properly prepare for appeal, you may very well find yourself your case dismissed because the lower court judges do not want the embarrassment of being overturned.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. If they had any shame to be embarrassed for any reason, I would concede that would possibly happen. But in the real world, they have no shame. They're never embarrassed about anything. They wear a robe of a Luciferian openly and smile while they're doing it. The robes now even have a little inside zipper pocket for the cell phone. So it was nice to see the judges getting their hearts radiated by their cell phones and their little pouch on their black robes. So anyway, there's a little humor for the night. But my friend, thanks for calling in. You are exactly right. A writ of mandamus would be a way to go. A writ of an invocation of habeas corpus couldn't hurt. And send them both to the higher court and the lower court as well. And try to force Tom's release. Unfortunately, the attorney's there, so we don't want to goof up Tom's case by submitting paperwork on his behalf just yet. Letters on his behalf are fine if it's a general letter. But as far as, mandamuses and invocations and pleadings and motions and all that stuff.
I look forward to an update after his status hearing. So I'll definitely be looking forward to that.
Definitely.
Yeah, he should be on bail right now. I mean, this is absurd. They can't even get to a bail hearing. They've got to have a status hearing. They've already tried to use this absurd term, an identity hearing, and apparently Tom didn't want to sign something, and he should not sign anything. He was right not to sign something. And they said, we can't give you a bail hearing now because we don't know who you are from the identity hearing. They knew who he was when they came to get him and where he was. They know all full well who he is every day when they give him food and encounter him at the jail, but then when he gets into court, they don't know who he is because he's not signing away his rights on a piece of paper. And he's being smart. Yeah. He's holding his ground on that. So I wish we could file papers and mandamuses on behalf of Tom, but it, like I said, it would require him first, having to get rid of the attorney because the attorney doesn't want...
A status hearing implies that there's already an active case, and they're very, very, very well not be one yet.
Well, we know there isn't. They can't prove anything. Once again, under all different kinds of precepts and concepts and precedents, Tom's innocent. He's innocent until proven guilty. He needs bail because it's not a capital offense. They're charging him with possession when possession never occurred, claiming society is the victim when it's nothing but a fictitious entity. He's a living man on the land, and they're claiming he's a piece of property on the water. It goes on and on and on. It's the witches and the Nazis. The only thing they respect is massive public pressure. So keep the calls coming on behalf of Tom, and we'll pick this up right after the top of the hour. Stay with us.
Yeah, Chris, call me sometime. All right. Bye.
Resurrect the Republic. Thanks, caller, for calling in. And we'll be right back after the top of the hour on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.